Welcome to Word Connect with Pastor Maxwell Ogaga, a teaching ministry where believers are trained to be established in the truth of God's Word. For more information and free downloads, please visit www.thepastormax.ng.
Let's pray. Let's get into the Word this morning. Father, thank you because I'm anointed to teach. Thank you because your people are anointed to receive. I pray that light and understanding, signs, wonders, and miracles will take place at the teaching of your word. In Jesus' mighty name. So we started this very exciting series on the foundations for the Christian Reformation or of the Christian Reformation. And we talked about why the Reformation was needed because of the things that were creeping into the church. The sales of spiritual privileges, the domineering authority at that time of the Roman Empire, the Pope, the papacy, sales of indulgences and all kinds of spiritual things, and not allowing the Christians or the saints to access the word. It was only the priests that could read the word. And a man by the name of Martin Luther, not I have a dream, Martin Luther the Reformer, was beginning to have some things along these lines and was studying the book of Romans and came to the phrase, the just shall live by faith, which was or is the foundation of the Protestant Reformation. And Martin Luther, John Calvin, Zwingli, and a couple of all of those church fathers began to question certain practices. And that birthed the 95 theses that Martin Luther nailed on the door of the church in Wittenberg, Germany. And that started the Protestant Reformation, that started the Protestant Church, the Lutheran Church, and the Methodist Church, and all of those churches. And we did consider the fact that why do we have to talk about the foundations of the Reformation today? Because if we're not careful, like we talked about in our book, we'll begin to drift. We find that we have found ourselves in a day and an age where we're almost selling spiritual privileges in church again, where people have to buy certain anointing oils for certain cases. And the more difficult your case is, the more expensive the oil would be. And we've almost found a church where if you have money, it's always easy to become a leader. Regardless of even if you have character or not. And we're beginning to find that. And it's important that we get back to history. Because if we don't understand history, we would repeat history. And there's nothing new under the sun. So that's what prompted this particular study. And we talked about the five basics of the Reformation. Solus Christus, which is Christ alone. Jesus Christ is the only mediator of salvation between God and man. Okay? Not the Pope, not cardinals, not bishop, not priests, not kings. Christ alone is the head of his church. And what he says, you know, is the final authority. Then we talked about sola scriptura, scripture alone. God's word alone is the final and highest authority. All right? Not church tradition. God's word alone. Scriptures is the final authority, not your experience. Okay? Because we are back in a day. So I'll just do a bit of summary and then we're back in a day where a pastor would spend 30 minutes talking about his experience and 5 minutes based on scripture. And today, the more anointed you are, is based on how bizarre your story is. Okay, God appeared to you, called you by your middle name, you know, and all of that. And when you hear those stories, you're almost like, this is a very anointed man of God. And not scriptures anymore. Because these are not the days where we say, scripture says, but rather what Papa said. Okay? And so it's very important that we return to scriptures, that we're able to look at scriptures. And I mean, like I was teaching in the Bible interpretation class, not just because something is found in the Bible. Because I mean, we see people taking Bible verses out of context right now, throwing them all around to preach all kinds of stuff. And William Shakespeare said in the Merchant of Venice that the devil can cite scripture for his own good. All right? You can make the Bible say whatever you want it to say. Slave trade was perpetuated by some section of the church using the Bible. So it's not about using the Bible, it's about rightly dividing the word of truth. That word rightly dividing the word of truth that Paul wrote to Timothy actually means to cut a straight line. Okay? To cut a straight line. To ensure that the line is straight. How many of you have seen your 3-year-old draw a line? In their mind and in their heart, they have drawn a line. But when you look at that thing, it's a curved ball. Alright? So the fact that it's a line to you doesn't mean that the word of God has been rightly divided. And I've said this before because, again, one of the reasons why we have to get back to scripture is I've been used to trend. I don't know if it trends now. You have a number 6. Someone stands on this side and said, what is this? This one says 6. The other one stands there and says, what's that? And that one says 9. It says, you are correct and I'm correct. It's amazing how adults behave like children because they want to be right. Two people cannot be correct at the same time. Somebody between both of you, you and your friend, wrong. How do we find out? We find out who wrote it. If the person says it was 9 I wrote, the man who said 6 is wrong. We cannot have a Christianity where everybody is correct. The word of God is true, and every other man is what? Are you here? The word of God is true, and every other man is what? A liar. So if we want to say the truth, we have to side with the word of God. Okay? That's important. So we talked about sola gratia, by grace alone. So grace alone is the means of salvation. God is not inclined to save anyone because of anything inherent in man. He saves for his purpose and by his mercy alone. We receive salvation by grace and not by works. And it's very important also that if we have received salvation by grace, we continue our journey by grace. And these are very fundamental things because it's easy to slip from these things. It's easy to slip into works. I usually would say, I'm writing another book on faith right now. Hopefully it should be out before our Faith Refreshers Conference. Your faith, you don't have faith in your faith. Right? You have faith in what? In God. So it's very important that we recognize that what we've gotten by grace must be sustained by grace. Okay, so then we talked about sola fide, faith alone. Salvation is true faith alone. So believing in Christ is what brings salvation, not through the works of man or the merit of man. Good deeds contribute nothing to the sinner's justification. And no amount of indulgences, buying certificates to get less time in the purgatory and all of that will change that fact. It's not what we do that makes God to save us. It's His saving grace. And these are foundational things. These are very foundational things that we need to restore back into the church. And again, I keep saying it, we must understand the purpose of the church, that the purpose of the church is to learn about Christ and the doctrine of Christ. And you should get comfortable with it, right? You should get comfortable with it, that that's what the church was designed to do. And if we have that mind about the church, we would come with a heart to learn. So this morning we're going to do the final series on this. It's called Soli Deo Gloria, for the glory of God alone. For the glory of God alone. That's the final one. For the glory of God alone. Praise God. Are you here? Say amen if you're here. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. So, the word soli means alone. We've talked about that. Soli, sola in Latin means alone. The word soli actually is also from the original English word that means solitary. When say solitary confinement, just being alone. Okay. Then, the phrase Deo Gloria means the glory of God. D-E-O, then Gloria. The glory of God. So, soli De Gloria means to the glory of God alone. And it's very important. I want you to follow me. It's very important we understand this. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 17. Turn your Bibles there with me. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 17. Now to the King eternal. Now, it's very important that you observe, because when the phrase kings is used, We have a concept of monarchy, earthly kings, and no king actually lives forever. No matter how long a king lives, they die. But in talking about God, he uses the phrase, the King Eternal. Now, to the King Eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, the only God. Right? These are, just put it up for me so that I can pick up a few lessons. Put it up for me if you can. These are, take time to meditate on this. Don't rush over this. These are attributes of God. First of all, that God is king. He's king. And God is eternal. God is not temporal. God is eternal. You know, many times we know these things, but we don't spend time to meditate on them, to think on them. God is king, he's eternal, he's immortal, which means he cannot die. He's immortal. Number two, he is invisible. He's invisible. He is the only God. There's no one like him. That's why in the Jewish culture, especially when you read the whole of the Old Testament, one of the things they consistently recited as they spoke to the children of Israel was, "Hear, O God, thy Lord your God is God." It was something they reminded themselves about all the time that they spoke the Psalms, that the Lord your God is God. And you need to constantly remind yourself that about that today, because we actually have faith in a lot of things that are not God. It wouldn't surprise you today that you would see a Christian walk out of the church, go somewhere because somebody recommended somebody to them that he can solve their problem, and they will walk out of the church and end up in some kind of funny home, drinking some kind of funny things. And when it's time to share the testimony, they will say, "I don't know how it happened. God just miraculously." Because the truth of the matter is that, you know, like we're talking about our heart today, somewhere deep in our heart, we just feel like we need to help God. So you need to think on this, that he is the only God. And there's no other God besides him. It needs to become a reality to you that he's King Eternal, he's immortal, he's invisible, the only God, and to him be honor and glory forever and ever. So to him be glory. To him be glory. For the glory of God alone. So when God works through us and works in us and does the work of salvation, it's so that no man will boast, but that all the glory will be to his name. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 26 to 31. To him be the glory. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Thank you, Lord. Verse 26. For consider your calling, brethren, that they were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble. But God has chosen the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things that are strong. Look at how God works. You see, that's why sometimes as Christians, and why I really want us to pay attention to this message, is we must learn to give God the glory. Because what is happening now in our world is a lot of glorification to self. You know, God can call me to preach now, and I'm preaching, and God starts opening the doors, you know, to the nations and start doing stuff with my life. And you know what starts happening? I start attributing the glory to myself. I start talking like, you know what? All of you, you're not anointed. If you need anything from God, this is the man to check with. And before you know, there's a thin line between honor and self-glorification. You know, sometimes we can boast in our intelligence. And that's why God always told them, remember, it's the Lord, the God that gives you power to get wealth. Lest you say, the might of my hands have given me this wealth. I can assure you today, where you are sitting, you will know someone who's got the same degrees with you, who went to the same school with you, who had everything that you have that's not doing the same thing you're doing today. They're still struggling through life. And you know, it's difficult for us to worship God. If we say, just thank God because He's God, we will not see any reason to thank Him. Right? He didn't choose. Praise God. Paul says He didn't choose the wise according to the flesh. He didn't choose the mighty. He didn't choose the noble. You know, and that's, it's interesting, sometimes when God has blessed us, we look as if we never went through stuff in our life. I remember one time, we were somewhere, and NYC camp. You know, NYC camp, 21 days. The first 1 week, everybody's a big boy because you brought some money from home. They'll serve you whatever you serve. You should keep their food. That's why I don't like this country. You go and buy food. Second week. Say, just bring it. Let them not say we didn't eat. Third week, you're queuing with your plates. So we had this guy. We had this guy who ate beans in camp. Then we got to town and he became the papa of the fellowship. One of these days, we were saying they want to cook beans. He said, no, it doesn't. I don't eat beans. Oh boy, what's happening? You know, that's how some of us are. Some of us have money now, we live like we've never been poor. I don't like fish, I like salmon. I like my fish grilled. It's because you were able to afford a dictionary. When you were hungry, did you know there was something called grilled fish? Once in a while, you have to tell yourself, calm down. You have a story. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It keeps you humble. Are you hearing this now? Once in a while, you look yourself in the mirror and say, I'm a man. God is the one who is invisible. God is the one who is immortal. Something is coming to my mind. I don't want to say it. God is the one who is immortal. God is the one who is invisible. God is the only eternal God. I am a man. And give God the glory that is due Him in your life. To Him alone be the glory. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You must be conscious of it. If not, sometimes wealth has a way of elevating you beyond what you want. And you start looking down on people. Start looking down on others. Start even looking down on ministers. Because when you have some money now, you want to compare translations. When you didn't have money to buy various translations, you were just saying, pray for me. You've got to watch it. Even as a minister of the gospel, when God starts using you, you've got to watch it. You know, today, it's interesting, 9:20 already. It's interesting that we see miracles. I mean, there are a lot of ministers that God is using to do miraculous things, you know. But it's so shocking that if you read church history, you will even weep that we're not seeing miracles now. Some of us have never read church history. Go read church history. A lady by the name of Amel Simpe MacPherson, the founder of Four Square Bible Church, would have what she called stretcher days. She would put people, invalids would be in a hall. That lady would walk up on the platform with one word and people would start walking out. Go read about the Jeffrey brothers. It got to a point, miracles were happening so strong in the life of the Jeffrey brothers, they said the world is under our feet. 2 months after that, they died. The last person who saw the Jeffrey brothers was Riyad Bunkin. He was alone in his room, one woman just taking care of him. All the fame and all the stuff. Read about Alexander Dowie, who founded Zion City. A whole city where miracles were taking place. At a point, he said he was the Elijah of God. Or go read about William Branham. William Branham had so much forensic prophecy. He could be praying for a woman whose husband is committing adultery somewhere. He will tell you the plate number, tell you what your husband wore, the address number. He was so powerfully used of God. Of course, he started teaching some kind of interesting things, and the Lord warned him. He didn't listen, but when he had the accident and died, when the Lord, you know, told him he was going to take him if he didn't correct his teaching, when he had the accident and died, he was there, his wife and his son, and he realized his wife had passed on, and he told the son to put his hands on his wife. Put his hands on his wife, the wife came back. But if you read all of these, you would find out at the point where their ministry started declining was when they started attributing glory to themselves. I know people that have fasted 40 days that can't even heal a headache. And sometimes you say, it's because of the fasting. And some of you know you fasted and you got more headache after the fast. Right? Are you hearing what I'm saying? You read good morning, Holy Spirit, Benny Hinn. You start getting up in the morning and telling Holy Spirit, good morning, good morning. He's not answering you. Because Benny Hinn having that experience was grace. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And as ministers of the gospel, we must consistently remind people that God is using us because of His grace. Are you following this? And even in your own life. And why am I laying that foundation? It's easy for us to give Him the glory if we recognize that it's by grace. So Paul reminds us that not many of us who are noble, not many of us who are wealthy, not many of us who are strong. Look at verse 28. And the base things of the world and the despised. Look at the people God chose. The despised God has chosen. It's only God that can choose people who are despised. Praise the name of the Lord. You know, some of you were never chosen for anything. You were in school, they didn't choose you for class prefect, they didn't choose you for anything. Huh? You were playing football, some of you are never chosen. You have never been chosen in your life for anything. Even for someone who will carry the plate to the kitchen after everybody has eaten, they still will not choose you. You say, I want to say, don't worry, don't worry. Your brother will carry it. You are not chosen. And do people experience this? Yes, David experienced it. That's why David served God the way he served God. See, always remember where God is taking you from. Don't look at where you are today. Always remember where God is bringing you from. You know, David, if somebody came now and said, we're going to choose the president of this country, I'm telling you, even the dog that is related to me, I'll bring them out. How can you forget a child until the prophet says, do you have any other child? That's the highest level of forgetfulness. Do you understand? In those days, prophets didn't go to people's houses. It's not today that prophets look for where to pray. You know, there are some prophets who are looking for, do you have problems? Yeah, I can come to your house. You know those prophets who are busy prophesying over governors. You know, it's a reverse. In Bible days, if a prophet came to your house, you couldn't eat. You knew God had a word for you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah, but today we are the ones that, you know, if we snap a picture with a governor today, then we put it. It's like Jesus taking a picture with Herod and showing the disciples, say, I was at Herod's palace. Celebrate grace. Interesting things. You know, we've so messed up ourselves that what is dishonorable to God has become honorable to us. Yeah. Okay. David was forgotten, was despised. But who did God choose to replace Saul? The one who was despised. That's why when you are despised in life, stop complaining. You are the right candidate to be chosen by God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? David says, if my mother and my father forsake me, say God will pick me up. There's an assurance you have
that God can pick you up. Praise the name of the Lord. Let's read on. It says, and the base things, verse 28, 1 Corinthians 1. And the base things of the world and the despised things, God has chosen the things that are not, so that he might nullify the things that are. Look at verse 29. Put up verse 29 for me. This is the big thing. Verse 29, it says, so that no man may boast before God. You see that? What's the essence? Why is God doing all of this? So that no man will boast before God, because all the glory goes to him. No man will boast before God, because he alone deserves the glory. He alone deserves the glory. Praise God. So our righteousness is of him. Our sanctification is of him. Our justification is of him. Our lifting is of him. By crafting salvation to be by grace alone, through faith alone, God makes himself the recipient of all praise. He makes himself our glory, our joy, our boast. We boast in him because he's great. We boast in him because he has saved us. We boast in him because there's no one else to boast in. Look at Psalm 115 verse 1. Put that up for me. It's a very interesting verse. They always read these. The Jews always read this. Psalm 115 and verse 1. Psalm 115 and verse 1. There's a song like this, right? Where are the singers in the house? Is there a song like this? Yeah, there's a song. I've heard it. Alright? Not to us, O God. Not to us. But to your name give glory, because of your loving kindness and because of your truth. Not to us, O Lord. Not to us, O Lord. But to your name give glory. Not to us, but to your name give glory. To him be the glory alone. You know, the Jews always recited this to remind themselves to give the glory to God. Yeah? You know, I was thinking over something, right? How many of you were taught to pray over food? You were taught. I know some of you were not taught. I'm asking for those who were taught. You were taught to pray over food. Let me see. Okay, fantastic. Okay, how many of you still pray over food? Let me see. Don't be ashamed. How many? Okay, hold on. Put your hands down. How many of you were taught to pray over food? Let me see your hands. You were taught to pray over food. Your parents taught you to pray over food. Fantastic. How many of you still pray over food? Okay. Interesting. So the numbers have reduced. Okay. Now, praise God. Now, how many of you were taught to pray over the food with thanksgiving? Not so that somebody will not kill you. Okay. So how many of you were taught to thank God for the food? That's what you were taught. To thank God for the food. Okay. Okay. How many of you were taught to pray so that they will not poison you? Don't worry, it's okay. This is the house of God. Raise your hand. Let me see. Okay, that you were taught that way. Okay, that one is wrong. Okay? Now, how many of us still pray and thank God for our food? Now, raise your hand. Whether you were taught or you learned or you still do that. Let me see. Sometimes. Okay. How many of us do it regularly? You know that regularly you do it. Okay. Okay. How many of you do it when others are there? There are other people, so you say, let's pray. Okay, let me see your hands. Okay, how many of you do it alone? Even if you were alone in the kitchen, you'd pray before you eat. Thanksgiving. You know what I realized, and I'm going to spend time to teach it. It's very important. I don't practice it all the time. Okay, once there is food, I eat. Because I know the next action after food, you know, I pray a lot, but not over my food. And not because I don't want to pray, but I think, I feel most times people pray because they are scared they want to die. So, I know that's not part of my fear. So, but, you know, but of late, the Lord began to, as I began to study these, you know, I began to see the importance of thanking God for your food. Thanking God that He has provided, right? Right? And that you can eat. Some of you didn't catch that revelation. It's deep. Did you realize that God, that's why Solomon said, to him who God has given wealth and the ability to eat it, he said, let him be grateful. Are you hearing this now? So that you have food and that you can eat. Number one, you are not being fed. Number two, it's not by tubes. Number three, you have appetite. You should do a 10-minute thanksgiving first. Now I started practicing it more consistently right now because I realized that I can have food in front of me and just assume that, well, I work hard, I can buy chicken. But if I understand that to Him alone be the glory, I would realize that I could actually have bought that food and not been able to eat. I remember when Pastor Mary, okay, I'll tell you quickly before she comes. You know, I remember when Pastor Mary was pregnant, right? With, I don't know, one of our kids. I don't know which one, because you know these kids, they come with different. But that particular child was very beneficial to me. All right? So they'll bring, you know, we're back in worry, and they'll bring pepper soup for her. She'll say, ah. She say she wants pepper soup. They'll bring it. Say, ah, she cannot eat. I said, no problem. No, you don't need to force yourself. Why will you force yourself? You know, I that pregnancy was such a blessing to my life. I think it was my boy. I think it was the first child because I had my mom there, all kinds of food. It's such a beautiful period. You want yaman? Oh, yeah, they'll bring. You want this one? I cannot eat. I said, no, don't force yourself. Why am I here? What am I doing in this life if I cannot help you? With it, you know, when you have that kind of wife, you almost feel like giving birth every year because, you know, there's going to be a 3-month period where everybody will cook for you. Nice fish, hot pepper soup. And once she wants anything, I help to amplify it. She's saying she wants it. What am I doing? Okay. To Him be the glory alone. But if we build that into our lives every time we are able to buy food and every time we're able to eat, and every time we have food before us, we have to retrain our children again. That is not just because your father is wealthy. It's because God is good. And if we have food before us, to Him be the glory. Do you realize when Jesus took 5 loaves and 2 fishes? What did He do? Come on, tell me. What did He do? He gave that. He didn't say, oh God, I release your power. You will not disappoint us. Father, you sent me to this Jerusalem. I will not end up in shame. Father, He didn't do that. He gave thanks. Which tells us that where people give God glory, increase is guaranteed. How do I know that? Abraham, he grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. What does to God alone mean? To God alone be the glory means, it means even what if what you have in your hands is insufficient, to Him be what? The glory. So we're people of faith. We don't complain. We don't whine. We don't, you know, we're not cranky. Look at your salary. And you know, do you realize that all you need to do for your boss to sack you is to just forget things? No, has it? Has it crossed your mind how powerful God is to just make you remember things? Oh, you haven't thought about it? You know, I mean, you can be feeling like, I'm wealthy, have this investment here. I mean, you know, God just touches one place in your brain. You get up, say, where do you have investments? I don't have. You people should not lie on my head. I don't have. So, can you just know that just the mind to remember your account number, to Him alone be the glory. Do you know when people who are going through some kind of mental illness walk in the streets and are not clothed, you know, they look at us like we're not good people? Just the way you look at them and say, ah, these people, they need help. They also look at you and like, why are you wearing clothes? Why are you combing your hair? Are you hearing what I'm saying? They are seeing the world from a different perspective. You say you're going to Hyper City and ShopRite, they are going to the next dustbin. And they are wondering, why are you going to Hyper City when there is supermarket here? It's about the mind. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's about the mind. So just having the right frame of mind to do the right things, it's amazing how that alone makes God deserve the glory. Are you still here? It changes your perception about life. So not to us, O Lord, not to us, O Lord, but to your name we give glory. And if there's something we've got to learn, it's not to ascribe anything to ourselves. It's okay for the Christian to say, this is by the grace of God. It's very okay. It's very fine. You know, we'll say, I know his grace, but... Stop there. That's the thin line. Not to us. Not to us. But to his name be the glory. I like us to practice the attitude of giving God all the glory. It's just okay to say, this is by the grace of God. And praise God. And glory to God. Amen. All right. Romans chapter 3, verse 21. Romans 3, 21. Is somebody learning something this morning? All right. So you're going to pray over your food this afternoon, right? Yeah, I'm telling you. I'm telling you. You're going to pray with some knowledge now. Amen. Even if it's meat pie, pray with some knowledge. Eh? Let your children just see you praying. All right? I don't know the prayer I was taught, but my prayer was very straight. Bless and sanctify this food in Jesus' name. Oh, same there. Did our parents go to the same church? Who was taught, I bless and sanctify this food in Jesus' name? I don't know. Maybe I need to read the Bible more. Maybe they prayed somewhere like that in the Bible. I didn't want to say my prayer because I thought yours was special. Not knowing that you are not even better than me. So, and that line was fast. It was all just good. I bless and sanctify this food in Jesus' name. Boom, we're gone. Praise the name of the Lord. Yeah, so I don't know if that's the summary of all the Thanksgiving prayer. I'll research more on praying over food, but I'll study it more. But I think we should just practice with what we have. First, thank God before you bless and sanctify. Romans chapter 3. It's amazing. Maybe our parents went to the same church. 21, verse 21. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For all those who believe, for there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in his blood through faith. This was to demonstrate his righteousness, because in the forbearance of God, or in the patience of God, he passed over the sins previously committed for the demonstration, I say, of his righteousness at the present time, so that he would be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Where then is boasting? It's excluded. By what kind of law? Of works? No. But what? By faith. There's no room to boast. So in this place, Romans 3:27, the NLT, if you've got the NLT, put it up for us, the New Living Translation. It says, can we boast then that we have done anything to be accepted by God? No. Because our acquittal is not based on obeying the law, it's based on faith. We cannot even boast. We cannot even boast. Praise God. You know, we can't boast. Some things are just gifts. And I think I've said it here many times. Growing up in a pastor's home, you know, we had issues with instrumentalists when my dad was, you know, starting the church. So, I mean, the first son made me to learn all kinds of instruments. Learn the drums, play the drums a bit, learn the keyboard, play the keyboard a bit, try to learn the bass guitar, everything. Didn't work out. We wasted a lot of money. I wasn't dull, I was bright, at least to the best of my knowledge. But music didn't just click. I like singing, but I was never on key. So, and it's not these days where you miss choir practice and, yeah, you have all kind of excuse. We had one elderly woman, we used to call her Auntie Meg, and she had permission to beat us. So if you were late in choir practice, she would beat you, everything. So at a point, I was, you know, the fear of Auntie Meg would make you not to be late. At a point, I just called her. I said, Auntie Meg, there's a problem. She said, what's the problem? She said, music is not sticking. I'm always off key. So for us not to cause problem, let me just leave the choir. Interesting. You know, my mom is an interesting woman. And I left at the wrong time. You know, you can do the right thing at the wrong time. So that Sunday, before I resigned from the choir, I was happy I'd resigned. I didn't know what was to befall me. Choir had a major presentation, and it was a Thanksgiving service. So they were looking for pastor's son among the chorister. Everybody went up, and I was not there. And my mom does not have the forbearance of God. She does not wait. My mom doesn't wait. If there's a problem, we solve it now and then we move on. She does not believe I will beat you later. No. There's no... Why would you collect your beating later when you committed the crime? My mom came to me straight in the room. Where, why are you not singing? I said, I've left choir. I said, come. When I heard come, I knew I was done for. So I quickly ran to the front and so I close to my dad. She kept calling me, come, I want to see you. I said, no way, I'm not going anywhere. But why did I tell you the story? My younger brother plays the keyboard, sings, he's got a music album. He just, I don't know, just grew up being able to play music. But he's never preached a sermon in his life. He doesn't like to preach. Never been in front of the pulpit. Never did a morning devotion in his life. Doesn't preach. I cannot just attribute the preaching grace on my life to studying alone. It's the grace of God. He can't just attribute the music ability in his life to what? To just learning alone. It's what? It's the grace of God. Some of you are very good with mathematics. It's not because your forehead is like this. You know, some of you look at your head and say, because of my head, I can understand math. There are guys whose forehead are like Pythagoras theorem, rectangle and square and cube. There is no math there. So why am I saying all of this? I don't want you to look at yourself and tell yourself why you are where you are. Every time you look at yourself, you look up and you give God the glory. Are you following this? Is this making some sense to us? Because salvation alone belongs to God. Psalm 3 verse 8. Salvation alone belongs to God. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Let me do this quickly. Time is gone. Ephesians chapter 1 now. Praise God. Ephesians chapter 1. Oh, thank you, Lord. Verse 4-6. Ephesians 1:4-6. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we will be holy and blameless before him in love. He predestined us to adoption as sons. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 5 now. He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself according to the kind intention of his will. Look at this. Verse 6. Why did he do this? Put up verse 6 for me. To the praise of the glory of his grace. Why did he choose us? Why did he make us blameless? Why did he make us holy? He says, to the praise of the glory of his name. That's why. Everything is to the praise of the glory of his name. To him alone be the glory. The German composer, Johann Bach, you know, he lived from 1685 to 1750. He was an excellent composer of music. Excellent composer of music. At the end of every music, he would put the sign SDG. And a lot of people didn't know what he meant. But that meant sola de gloria. He recognized that his music abilities were from God. Praise God. I mean, there are some of us that learn the times table. And we forget every time. 2 times 1, 2 times 2, 2 times 3. You'll be hitting. And the brain is telling you there is nothing here. Right? And there are guys who just get the numbers and they'll remember. Are you following this? I mean, I was very good with literature. I could read novels once and tell you all the story. I struggled a bit with maths. And I know guys who read the novel. They'll read it 3 times. Read it before the entire exam hall. The first thing they're asking you, say, who is this person in the novel? I'm like, what did you just read? Are you following what I'm saying? You realize that. And why I'm making all of these examples is, you can listen to a message like this and it's very theological, but you don't know how to apply it to your life. And that's where the application comes. But you know, today is about self. Right? They'll try to explain it. You have right brain, you have left brain, you have middle brain, you have this is your personality. And everything, instead of giving God more glory, what do? We're looking at ourselves, we're giving more glory to ourselves. We're attributing everything to ourselves. First Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. Put that up for me. It says, whether you eat or drink, do it to the glory of God. This is the interesting thing about Soli de Gloria. It says, whether you eat or drink, do it to the glory of God. That means you don't only, it says, whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do. Do how many things? I want to hear that loud and clear, church. I didn't hear that. Do how many things? How many things should you do? To the word? Which means when you leave this church today and you go to work on Monday, how should you go to work? To the glory of God. Can you see this? Don't do anything for self, for His glory. It means that Soli de Gloria doesn't only mean that we give God the glory, we live that way. Whatever we do to the glory of God. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. Paul repeats that instruction again. You can put that up. Colossians 3, 17. Thank you, Lord. Colossians 3, 17. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. Whatever you do. It's amazing. One of the reasons they talked about the concept of Soli de Gloria was because during the Reformation, there was a separation between spiritual and secular. So people felt if you were in church, you were spiritual. When you went into the world, you were secular. And he says, no, that's not it. For the Christian, he's as spiritual on Monday as he is on Sunday. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Martin Luther, the theologian, said that a shoemaker who is a Christian does not, paraphrasing, a shoemaker who is a Christian does not represent Christ by putting little crosses on his shoes, but by making the shoe so excellently well that when people wear the shoe, they look for who made it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So being a Christian is not anointing your store with oil and being rude. Do you get what I'm saying? It's being so cautious with people that they want to know more about you. So you're not a Christian by label, you're a Christian by character. Do you understand what I'm saying? Come on, do you understand what I'm saying? So by the way, I'm going to have a meeting. We need to fix a meeting with all artisans in our church. Artisans are bricklayer, carpenters, and all of those. Right? I'm going to have a special meeting. It's not a prayer meeting. I'm going to have a special teaching meeting. Right? Because I found out that in our society right now, you get someone to do work for you and it's a problem. It's a big problem. Yeah. Right? You get someone to repair your car, fix your shirts, you're the one begging them. You've paid them. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I know you are in this church. Pretend like you don't hear. So before they complain, we're going to sort that problem out. Because I told Pastor Mary, I said, if artisans in our church behave like this, they will be poor. I said it. There's no prayer that will deliver you. So we need to have a meeting where we talk to ourselves. If you know, I don't know why I'm saying this. Maybe this is a word of knowledge to help someone before you go home. If you know you cannot sew 5 shirts at once, collect 2 and do it well. So you don't misrepresent Christ. Or you now sell somebody's material. I mean, all kinds of things. How do you want to prosper like that? He says it's the secret of the trade. It's secret of failure. That's why people can be artisans for 10 years and they've not made progress. There is no way you will make progress like that. You measure someone. You now bring the tape. You are not asking the person. Say, you grow. Adult, you measured a 42-year-old man. You are asking the man if he grew in 2 weeks. So we're going to have a special. We're not praying for you that day. We're going to sit down and talk. Because listen, let me tell you this. If you continue like that, you will put your family in generational poverty. There's no altar that will deliver you. No sacrifice that will deliver you. No seed that will deliver you. And if you're such a person in this church, you have to repent today. Go call everybody who you are owing whatever they've paid you for. Right? Gave you wood to do. You will saw the wood. Even people who didn't. You know, sometimes it's so amazing that even someone like me that is not very good with my hands and everything, You are the one now teaching a carpenter what to do. And he said he studied carpentry for 2 years and he was free. You know what I'm saying? He said, I get my freedom. They shouldn't have set you free. You are dangerous to society. Why would they set you free like that? You are the one saying, do the nail like this. And, okay. We'll have that meeting. Come with me to Daniel chapter 4 verse 30. Let's close here now. So whatever you do, right? Why did I say all that? Whatever you do. You're sewing shirt. You're doing hair. You're a preacher. You're working in the office. Do everything to what? The glory of God. And I want to say this to you. Never complain about what you are paid. Listen, let me say this. If I need to close this, I'll close this here. Listen to me. Never complain about what you are paid. The day you feel your salary is too small, resign. You didn't join a cult. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Let me tell you. Every time somebody pays you and you complain about what you are paid, you know what happens? You send death into what's in your hands. Let me tell you, there are not many organizations in this world who will start a firm and employ someone. If it's easy, why are you still working? You don't know the road to rent an office. So the first attitude of a Christian is gratitude. And if you are tired, instead of organizing association of complaining co-workers, let me tell you the truth. If you have that attitude, you never bet your own. Because to employ people today, for somebody to earn enough, and you might say, hey, but we are giving the company, and they are using us. Start your own company so you are not used. Nobody stopped you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? See, that's my approach to life. That's why I see in the Word of God. We don't complain. And let me tell you, even if your boss is not rewarding you well, and you walk faithfully, God has 1,000 ways to get your reward to you. And he wouldn't do that if you're complaining. Are you here? Okay. I said it should turn where? Daniel 4:30. Put up that for me. We'll do two more scriptures and then. Daniel chapter 4 verse 30. Nebuchadnezzar. Put the NIV for me. Okay. Okay. It's okay. Leave the NSV. The king reflected, right? You know the story. He was walking around his palace, right? 29. Can we just do 29 quickly, please? 29. 12 months later, he was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon. You know those strolls, those evening strolls that caused trouble. Type that David strolled and saw something. Sometimes, Charles Spurgeon says, the idle man tempts the devil to tempt him. That's what Charles Spurgeon said, George Father. He said, the idle man tempts the devil to tempt him. I am bored, and you are just calling through phone. You are looking for temptation. You are not mentally strong to resist what you are seeing. Sometimes when you are bored, sleep. You'll be counting ceiling. Okay. 40. The king reflected and said, is this not Babylon the great, which I myself has built as a royal residence by the might of my power? Look at this. It says, and for the glory of my majesty. It's interesting. Is it a bad thing that he said this? But he actually built it. Did he not build it? He built it. But he said, I built it for my glory. Okay. So let's follow the conversation. 31. Interesting. While the word was in the king's mouth, a voice came from heaven saying, King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is declared, sovereignty has been removed from you. Verse 32. And you will be driven away from mankind. You will dwell, your dwelling place will be with the beasts of the field. You will be given grass to eat like cattle. And thank God for Jesus. Some people would not be eating grass now. You will be given grass to eat like cattle, and it will not be vegetables. And seven periods of time will pass over you until you recognize that the Most High is the ruler over the realm of mankind and bestows it on whomever he wishes. This is where he missed it. Immediately the word concerning Nebuchadnezzar was fulfilled. He was driven away from mankind, began eating grass like cattle. His body was drenched with dew of heaven, until his hair had grown like eagle's feather, and his nails like bed claws. But at the end of that period, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes towards heaven. A theologian said the reason mankind is not made to work on their four foot but on two is so that their head is always lifted to heaven. He says, I raised my eyes towards heaven, and my reason returned to me. And I blessed the Most High, and praised and honored him for lives forever, who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom endures. He began to conduct praise and worship. Who sent him? You can learn from Nebuchadnezzar. You don't need to suffer for being arrogant. He suffered. And he says, listen, it's God that rules in the affairs of men. He gives it to whomever he wants. Where you are today is because God wanted you there. Psalm 29 verse 1. Ascribe to the Lord, you heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. We must be conscious. And it's interesting that the final phrase of the Reformation was to him alone be the glory. Because our justification, our salvation, our sanctification, our redemption is from him. And whatever we do to the glory of his name. I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you. Can we stand on our feet for a moment, everyone? Let's take 1 or 2 minutes. And from the depths of your heart, as we also get ready for the baby dedication, from the depths of your hearts, just lift your voice and give God glory. And thank him. And thank him. And thank him. And thank him. Oh, Father, we honor you. Oh, we praise your holy name. We praise your holy name. We praise your holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to your name. Oh, Father, we thank you. Oh, we give you praise and glory. We honor you, Jesus. We honor you, Jesus. We honor you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to Word Connect with Pastor Maxwell Ogaga. We encourage you to share this message with your friends and loved ones. For more information and free downloads, please visit www.thepastormax.ng. We would like to hear from you. Send us an email, info@pastormax.ng, or you can call 0805-888-7575. God bless you.